It's a new paradigm, and we're leading it. For the women ready to unbind themselves from the shackles of business that feels like gray cubicles and stuffy suits, for business that feels like creativity and magic, for the women ready to trade in rigid boxes for delicious feminine flow. It's time for feminine leadership and business done differently. Businesses built from equal parts intuition and strategy, creativity and logic, structure and flow. We're taking up space with uniquely differentiated brands. We're messaging with equal parts head and heart. And for the women going to the top, we're scaling with structural excellence to allow our feminine flow to dance, equal parts pleasure and precision roaring into the marketplace. I'm Catherine Morrison, and I'm helping women from ground zero to multiple millions do just that. From spiritual awakenings to parsing through nuanced funnel data, from creative urges and intuitive knowings to the most razor-sharp business strategy on the market, I've got you covered. I spent my career scaling 8- and 9-figure companies, had a massive spontaneous Kundalini awakening, and now I'm on a mission to help women build businesses that make the world a better place. We're doing it our way, and we're doing it in style. This is Ascension Through Entrepreneurship. Are you ready? Let's go. Hello, hello. Welcome to a deep dive episode on investing into your spiritual growth. Now, kind of fun fact, if you've listened to me for like more than a minute, you know that I have my rising Capricorn. I've got that part of me that's very, can be structured, linear, logical. It's interesting, when we moved the Brand Alchemy over from being a program to a membership, we did a survey of, like, you know, our global community. We have, I don't know, almost 150 members right now. And we were just asking, like, what do you want from Catherine? Like, what do you love the most? What type of calls? And one of the things that I thought was most interesting was it was actually pretty split 50-50 between some people were like, I want more trainings from Catherine. Like, I love to learn from her. I love the way her brain can like break things down. And then about 50% of the people were like, I want coaching. I want to be able to like talk to her and have her on my brain, right? And so I do recognize it is a very central gift of mine to be able to break things down for the human mind in a way that's very logical, linear, structured, right? If you think about the episode the other day on the differences between coaches, consultants, mentors, and teacher trainers, you know, you got a very bullet point list. These are the things to look for. These are the filters, all of that, right? So that was very much an episode that was designed to help your cognitive mind wrap itself around something. But as I started planning out this podcast, I started to do that. Like, I was like, okay, what are the different types of spiritual guides, spiritual teachers? What are the different ways that I could break this down? And I just kept coming up to resistance. Like, there was just a clear intuitive no in my body. That is not what this episode wanted to be. And then it sort of dropped into me that was never on my, I would say it's been a spiritual magic carpet ride since my Kundalini awakening and everything that has unfolded since, like all of this like psychic stuff, like the amount of things that just come in now. It has been a journey. And one of the things that was most useful to me when I was coming into spirituality was I was coming in as a brain in a jar, right? We've talked about this. We've been very trained to be very just cognitive, neck up, to not really track, right? Our intuition, the knowings, that felt sense inside of us of like, this is right for me, right? And I actually think, it's not I think, I deeply know that one of the areas where I really rapidly expanded my spiritual growth and my movement through my spiritual ascension process has really been through not trying to go to the logical linear mind in spiritual matters. And so I remember coming into after my Kundalini awakening, and I had, you know, this crazy energy experience. I already unpacked it in detail in episode 75 of the podcast. So if you're like, what is Catherine talking about? You can go back and listen to episode 75 on my spiritual awakening. But after that moment, it really did start to feel like just there were so many doors. It felt like I knew that I was supposed to be on a spiritual path. And this episode, I will say, it's like, there might be things here for some of you. Might not, like, you might want to come into alignment with your soul, right? That's ever ascension through entrepreneurship, right? But there's accountants in the world that have no psychic gifts and no, they're not energy healers, but they're exceptional accountants, and their gift to the world is their ability to sort of ground the numbers in structures in a way that like help the humans in the 3D world, right? And so I do think you can be in alignment with your soul in a way that you might not have a spiritual gift that's supposed to open up and unfold. So I do think there's some things here if you're like, I don't know, like I haven't even felt that I have something in me like that. I definitely didn't think that I had spiritual gifts inside of me until... I go through it all in episode 75, so I don't really need to go into it again, but I had like been having sort of flickers of like things happening. And then I was like an atheist at the time. And then I went on a retreat, a yoga retreat with my mom and my sisters in Hawaii. And during a meditation, a group meditation at the end, I felt a clear energy field, like with my hands. I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like, it was like a Hollywood movie. It was the wildest thing, right? And then sort of like the frequency of these types of events and things like that got more and more frequent. And then obviously as I was doing things to develop and actually step into more spiritual spaces, that obviously sort of helped, right? Like it made the process a lot more rapid. And so this is just to say, some of you might already be deeply in alignment with your spiritual gifts. You might have, you might work as a psychic medium or something, right? And some of you might just be kind of where I was like 5 years ago. You might be an atheist like me 5 years ago, but like there's like these flickers of things that you're like, I don't know, I'm just having a sense that I'm drawn to this, right? And so when I started to receive those flickers and I started to go on this journey, I remember my logical mind trying to be like, well, which one do I do? Do I get a Reiki training, or do I learn light language, or, you know, should I study human design? Like, what's the right answer? That's such like a... It's so laughable now that like I don't live that way, but like there's a lot of people that are so strongly conditioned. They have not done the deconditioning process, the brand alchemy process of like getting out of all of the like traps of the mind to live from a deeper place. And then they're like constantly, they're trying to come into spirituality, but they haven't done the deconditioning to be able to even approach it from what's the right answer? What's the felt sense I feel of what the right answer is for me? And so one of the things that was deeply, deeply helpful, obviously, in addition to the brand alchemy process, which I highly recommend, if you're not in there, you get in there with us. But when I was going through this, it really was just allowing myself to ask myself the question as I was on this spiritual journey, what feels sparkly to me? And that to me was like really how I started to track what was right for me somatically in my body. And I do think this is why, and we've sort of been tracking this way, right? We started with like, you know, how to get support for your business, how to get support for your human. And now we're talking about how to get support for your spiritual growth. But last week I talked a lot about like top down versus bottom up. And the reason why we do so many embodiment practices, breathwork practices, things like that inside of Brand Alchemy is like, it's essentially helping you. It's like your guide to coming into alignment with your soul, to getting out of the head and into the body. And for a lot of people, if you are living neck up, you've got to do that first. Like, it's going to be hard for you to do the stuff in this episode if you haven't done the stuff from the last episode. Remember, we talked about how it's sort of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but like the ascension edition, right? And so if you have not done the work of really clearing the mind-body system, everything inside the internal rebrand section in the Brand Alchemy Accelerator, you might try to come into spirituality with that more logical, linear, like, well, what's the right answer? Do I study this or do I study that, right? And then when I tell you, well, just track what feels sparkly, you might, if you have just been conditioned to be a neck, like a head, like neck up thinker, right? You might be so trapped in the mind, you don't even know what that means. Like, how do I somatically track where desire lives in my body, where intuition lives in my body? And so if, as I'm going through this, that's sort of like almost step number one, right? And so feel free, if you think you're sort of in that neck up cognitive, you haven't deconditioned like the mind-body system yet, feel free to listen in, but you're going to want to sort of go back just recognizing that you're going to have a much harder time with any of the stuff in this episode if you haven't done everything in the last episode to really get to a place where you can be super dropped into your body, where you have an awareness of where intuition lives in your body, where you have a very, you know what your embodied intuitive yes is versus an embodied intuitive no, and you know what the difference is between your subconscious mind and past patterns. This is a huge, I see so many people that think it's their intuition, but it's like they're just past patterns of like their conditioning, right? So they haven't properly deconditioned, and then they're like, no, my intuition told me this, right? So it's like, it really is a level of depth of self-awareness that, I mean, I'm still on the journey. Like, I am not done by any means, right? But where I look at where I was 5 years ago versus now, oh my goodness, where I even look at where I was like a year ago versus now, oh my goodness, right? And so coming into this episode, as I describe some of these things, just tracking not what's happening in your mind, but really just taking a deep breath in and setting the intention right now to listen to this episode with your body. And even if you haven't been trained in like how to find your embodied yes, maybe just setting an intention right now to become aware of what your embodied yes is and to track when your body is saying yes to something. Because this isn't the kind of episode where you're going to find the right answer. This is the kind of episode where we are past the logical linear right now, and we are going into a field where the right answer is going to be a deep intuitive knowing for you. So there's so many different practices, so many different ways for you to invest in your spiritual growth. And there's also going to be things that overlap with a lot of the other things that we've talked about, right? So for instance, last week, we talked about somatics and really helping your body sort of come to center, reshaping the nervous system, not being in such fight and flight all the time. And we could talk about something like yoga, for instance, is a modality that could just be a somatic modality. And there's a lot of people, if you look at sort of how yoga's become very mainstream and prevalent, there's a lot of people that only approach yoga from it helps my body. Like it helps just literally the layer of my body to relax, to release tension, all of those things. But then there's also things like Kundalini yoga, which is an entire modality and practice that people spend a lot of time and years and energy on to actually do specific practices that will help them in their awakening process, right? And so this is where we're sort of getting into the world of like a lot of this stuff can be both somatic and energetic. We're going into kind of the world of energy right now. And another example of this could be something like breath work last week, right? I talked about the power of breath work. And if you just take 3 long, slow, deep breaths, you will actually activate your parasympathetic nervous system. You will trigger to your body to go into rest and digest. You'll feel a lot better. And so even like people like my children who are just going through the Austin public school system right now, they're being taught conscious breathing as children to help regulate their nervous systems. That's how mainstream this has gone. But there's also a lot of breathwork facilitators. We actually are like bringing someone in for our Pleasure and Precision Immersion retreat that then they're taking that breathwork as a portal door into the spiritual realms, into the deeper places, right? And that's oftentimes using something like maybe cacao and breathwork together to help the person sort of come into their heart and then open the door into that deeper place. Right. And so as I'm going through today, talking about some of these things, just recognizing there's a million different ways for spiritual gifts to come up. Like I'll just tell like a random story right now is, I remember when I was like first coming into my spiritual awakening, I went to this event and I went out to dinner with some women and they were all more spiritual, more intuitive. And at that dinner, it was a lot of us didn't know each other. We were just on an event together. And at that dinner table, there was a woman whose like spiritual gift was she was able to see, like she was able to see things like realms that like my eyes have never been able to see. But she could, for some reason, see shapes, right? And then she could actually manipulate the shapes in front of her that she was seeing. And what was fucking wild to me was at that table that night, there was a woman who actually ended up like, she didn't know the woman who like had this gift, but then this woman started talking about having her gift. And the other woman was like, oh my gosh, I have that too. And then they actually at the table, I couldn't see it. It was like I had no awareness, but just watching these two women that didn't know each other, one of them was like actually pulling up shapes. And then the other one was like manipulating the shapes and making them move. And like the two of them could see it and they were like talking to each other about it. And like none of the rest of us at the table could see it, right? And so I think this is an example of things where I'm just like, I have no doubt in my mind that what happened at that table was real. And there's probably the same way that we used to think that lightning was from the gods. Like there's something that those women are tapping into in terms of like a different dimension, right? That the rest of us just don't have access to. And I'm just like, man, what a lame superpower. Like I can see shapes and like move them with my eyes. Like that is like so crazy. It's like, that's so wild. But we were kind of laughing at the table because they were like, yeah, that's like my spiritual gift. But like I haven't found a way to like make it relevant or useful at all in my like day-to-day human life. It just is kind of almost like a party trick. And it's not really much of a party trick because usually there's not anyone else here that can like see what I'm able to do, right? And so we're sort of going into these realms where there are certain things that are spiritual lineages that have been documented and studied enough to have like some organization or system. I think something like Human Design is a really good example of this. That is, it's like, I think in the spiritual space, it's like, I would call it something that's a system that's gone very mainstream. And that's just this guy, Rahuru, and he just channeled in a system. And it's so wild to me when people are like, they think that they need to be certified. I'm like, look at Human Design. This dude just straight up channeled in a system that has like proven to be quite accurate when people actually pull it, like put in their birth time and they get out what their energy type is. Like oftentimes they're like, wow, like that feels right to me. So I think Human Design is an example of an energies, like actually codifying it into a system and something that the logical linear mind can sort of tether to. And so I do think as I look at what has made Human Design so popular, is the fact that for people who are just coming into spirituality, they're often coming from that more like neck up, have lived like a brain in a jar. And Human Design, even though the graph is weird and they're looking at their body and all those different lines, there's boxes, right? Like the logical linear mind likes boxes and it likes to be able to like understand things, right? Logically. And Human Design is an example of an energy system that has been codified in a way that allows someone to actually make sense of it. We could also even talk about how there's different, like when I did psychic development, there's actual processes, there's tools, there's like different ways that we would sort of get into the channel of going into our ability to even drop into that those more psychic awarenesses. And one of the things that I found so interesting was I ended up doing psychic development. It's funny because I studied with an American teacher, but I guess he was partnering with a British, I guess, an occult shop. I don't even know what it was. It's just like I knew him from social media and I liked him. And so I signed up for this class and I was in a class with all people mostly from the UK and then some others from Europe. Like I was literally the only American. And it was so interesting because there were certain things that the way that I was trained and taught in psychic development, he would almost pause for me and he would be like, just so you know, like the British psychic tradition does it this way and the American tradition does it that way. And I think a good example of this is if anyone has seen, oh my gosh, what is the name of the Netflix guy? He's like super famous, the psychic medium. Oh, and then like his mom was looking for a long lost person and he couldn't find it. Oh my goodness, I'm totally blanking on his name. Anyway, if I remember it, I'll put it in the show notes. But Tyler Henry, I think is his name. But when I would watch him, it was so interesting because like he would pull up like he knew if a female came in, I forget if it was the like it would be either the right or the left, and there were certain symbols that he would then be able to, he was working with actually codifying that energy into a system where he could read it, right? And so I think even as we're going into some of these like spiritual traditions, there is a place for the logical linear mind cannot be the master, right? We're not moving like this. The whole reason you come to work with me is like we're deconditioning the mind and we're setting setting the mind to work for us, right? So even if you do something like psychic development, you can teach yourself to be like, okay, so if it's this, this, or this, have it show it to me in these colors. So like there were certain things where we were taught for certain emotions or certain things to be like shown to us with different specific colors that we would sort of set an agreement, like we would feel the truth of it in our body ahead of time. And then that would assist us in the psychic reading. Which was super helpful for me because like I signed up for that class because I was going into things and I was just like, I was sometimes getting these like very specific like awarenesses. Like I can't remember what podcast I told the story on, but like there was a time 2 years ago in Italy, it was like spirit was like sounding an alarm bell. It was a woman I never met before and her life was about to go sideways. And this was the first time I ever had like a full on huge stream download. And it was basically like, you have to tell this woman all of these things, like she's about to, like her whole life is about to go sideways, tell her it's going to be okay, tell her all of these things. And the way that it was shown to me was it was basically, I was getting visuals of like sort of, dust coming in and then kicking up and then cards being sort of built up and then falling down. So it was like, spirit was communicating to me with my clairs. I should probably do another episode on like how intuition works. So basically I'm going to just talk a lot in this episode. And if there's certain things where you're like, oh, Catherine, I would love to hear more about that, you go ahead and message me on Instagram or send a note to my team. But so it was basically like these psychic messages were coming in, but I was having trouble understanding the accuracy of what I was then telling this woman. And I felt very weird because it was very clear. I had to tell her life was about to go sideways, but I couldn't be more specific than that. And after I had that, I decided, I was like, I want to actually develop myself and develop how I'm learning this thing. And so it was just very interesting because even if we go into something like studying spiritual traditions, we could look at something like astrology, right? There's like very different, like Vedic and I don't know, is it Western astrology? I'm like not a huge astrology person, but like to just study like even within different spiritual lineages, right? So like, let's say you're someone and I'm talking about astrology and you just feel that sparkle within you. It's actually, there's like very, once you get into that system, there's very different systems even within that system, right? And so to just set the initial thing of like, I'm going to just talk about a bunch of different types of spiritual gifts, different spiritual roles, right? People that exist in the world that are here to sort of help guide us in our ascension or help us in our healing, different things like that. And then track when you feel like an intuitive hit in your body and then keep tracking that, right? Because if I said astrology and you just notice something light up inside of you, then you're going to want to know, you're going to start on the path within astrology. And then the next door will be shown to you. The next door will always be shown to you. That's like coming through very strongly right now. It's like you go through the first door and then the next door, you keep walking, you keep following those intuitive hits and the next door will open. The next door will open. Another example I can give of this is like, as I came into spirituality, it was very clear to me. I had gifts, even as a child, I could always feel different energies. And my daughter has this exact same gift. I thought it was just emotional intelligence, right? I was just like, no, I'm just like very in tune and I'm very emotionally intelligent. So I can like sort of tell how people are feeling. But then I was like, oh no, wait, I'm like very psychic too, right? So it's been interesting to sort of go into different things. And as I came into this, I was like, okay, so I can read energy. And even when I was doing something, for instance, coaching, it's been so interesting as clients come to me and they're sort of coming into their awakening. They're often coming in through mindset because that's oftentimes where a lot of like us have to start. It's like, it's sort of like the gateway drug into like your full enlightenment, right? But if like you've been trained to be a brain in a jar, you kind of have to go in where your mind is allowing you to. So for me, it was very much like my mind was like, okay, we're going to be okay with mindset. And then I started like growing awareness of my thoughts and how wonky those were and all the conditioning I'd had. And then it was like, okay, now we're going to be okay with the body. Cause we've like, you know, we met these military guys and we're like learning these things. And then as I like really cleared out and purified both my mental layers and my physical layers of my body, all of this, like my channel, my intuitive channel just really, really, really opened. Right. And so as you come in, just be like, okay, like what feels right? What feels generally right? And as I was coming in, I always knew, I just started tracking what felt super sparkly. And so for instance, witchcraft felt interesting, right? But I never, like, the idea of like casting spells, and like I have friends and even clients that would identify themselves as witches, that never felt right to me. But it sort of just became this thing like on Instagram where women are just like, yeah, you know, like we're the witches. And then the way I was like trying to get my brain on board was like, you know, it means the woman who knows. And I was like, oh, well, I do feel deeply intuitive. So since I'm deeply intuitive, maybe that means that I am a witch. But that never felt right. And that's the thing. You have to just track in your body, like, and that it's not like a mental conditioning thing. Like I didn't have anything like mentally. I did in the beginning. I was like, this is weird. I don't want to be a witch. That's weird. And then when I like deconditioned those layers within me, it was like, no, it's not a mental conditioning thing. It just isn't right. And then I was like, okay, well, like I feel kind of drawn to Buddhism. And so I started really studying like Buddhist teachings, Buddhist principles. But that never felt right to me. And I do think there's probably people listening to this that like maybe you meditate, or there's something that feels like, oh, it's like a little Buddhist-y, right? But like actually, if you are Buddhist, that is the path of actually leaving the 3D world. Right? Like it's like the whole track of Buddhism is actually like your whole goal is to like not be attached to anything in this world, and to basically like be the person that can just like meditate on the mountain. You have no attachments. There's nothing there. And that never felt right to me. Right. So I was like, there were certain things where it was like monk consciousness felt really good. Those of you in the accelerator know, like we have in the internal rebrand section, all the different sections on different textures of consciousness as you're sort of coming into a higher level of consciousness, really going through like the spiritual ascension process. And one of the trainings in there is around monk consciousness. And that's really getting comfortable being deeply in the present moment and feeling very grounded, very connected into here in a way where you can then drop into your body and just like, and actually then leave, right? Like you can just like go and leave this 3D place and sort of just go off into the spiritual realms. And there is something beautiful about that. But for me, I didn't really want to spend my life. I didn't think my path has deeply felt like I am here not only to be deeply in and of the world, but I am also here to be a guide for those people that have a calling, that like they want to live a purpose-filled life and they want to actually live in and of this world. They do not want to go off and like be people that meditate on a mountain, or like, oh my goodness, we could even like talk about, as I've gotten more into like the plant medicine world and having good friends there, like becoming aware of like groups of people that like literally like they get together in community and are just like off astral traveling in the spiritual realms doing things that like it boggle my mind, right? Like that just, I think that's interesting. That just, I have no interest in that. Like I am very much like, and I think maybe it's the Capricorn in me, right? Like I call myself a practical magician, right? I'm here to look at how do we go through our spiritual ascension and ground things in and actually like improve ourselves while we're in and of the world. And so when I found the path of Tantra, it was like, I just felt a click. And it's so interesting, actually. I wouldn't say I immediately felt a click, because first you always go to the conditioning of the mind, right? And so like, if you aren't aware of what it feels like when you're just, it's the conditioning of the mind. It's like, this isn't my intuitive truth. It's just something that I've been conditioned to believe. You for sure, again, join the Brand Alchemy Accelerator. But like, I became aware of Tantra. And my first reaction was conditioned. It was from my conditioned mind. And I was like, oh no, that's the weird sex stuff. Right? Because if you think about what the Western world has been conditioned to sort of be aware of within Tantra, it is very much that like, oh, it's like you have sex for a long time. And I think that's maybe where like a lot of Westerners came into it from. And for sure, at this point, I have studied a lot of sexual tantra. I have had energy orgasms, like no one's touching my body. It's literally me just like tapping into the energetic realms and orgasming from that. So like, for sure, have I gone into more of those sexual practices? For sure. There's a whole course within the Pleasure and Precision Mastermind around that, because our sexual energy as women is our creative base, right? If you're looking at what true liberation is for women, it's liberating your sexual energy, which completely unblocks all of your creative flow, right? But
I couldn't get there when I first started. If we were talking about Catherine the Atheist 5 years ago, then she's learning about Tantra, and then she's like, I don't know, that sounds like the weird sex stuff. Then I had to come into it enough to be like, wait, but what is it actually? And if you look at what the lineage of Tantra is, it is actually, it was a spiritual lineage and set of practices that were developed for people that were wanting to live in this world. They wanted to have a deep spiritual practice to sort of allow any single thing they saw within themselves as like, this is a pattern in me and I see it manifesting out in the world like this. And so I do believe if you sort of resonate more with like hermetic principles, like as within, so without, as above, so below, very similar to tantric principles. And what you're looking at is just very much like, how can I take, I mean, this is when we talk about the Brand Alchemy Accelerator, it's like, how do I take anything I'm given and eat it, right? I can learn to like sort of eat up the energy. I'm a conscious creator and I'm just a spiritual being that's in this world, not of this world. My human body is of this world, right? But like, I'm learning to be someone who is able to exist in this place, knowing that my role primarily is as a spiritual being, and that when things are brought to my human life, when I see circumstances, cyclical patterns, things like that, that is actually grist for the mill, is something that I love. Ram Dass talks about this. It's all grist for the mill. If you're able to live in this level of consciousness where life isn't happening to you, like you are the conscious creator of it, and if you start to notice, I do believe there's chaos in the universe, right? I don't think everything, people can get like take this way too far where like everything's a pattern. But if you start to notice things like, I think we people see this right with client creation, right? It's like, and this is why we do the brand work, because it's like we are always the vibrational string that's a match for whatever client we're attracting, right? And so this is like looking at, no matter where I go, there I am again. And so if like, if the common denominator, like in something like your business is like, you're not attracting the level of client that you want, that's you. That's a you thing. You're the common denominator. And you have to really look at what within my energetic field, what within my mental field, what within my somatic field seems to be creating this same response from a lot of different variables in the universe that are just coming back and back and back. And I think another part of Tantra that deeply resonated with me was the focus on connecting with different energies. So I really started doing a lot of goddess work. I've never actually formally brought this in. I'm thinking about doing a training on it in the accelerator. So those of you that are interested in this, I'm open to it. I think it's like I've kept the accelerator very just energy focused as opposed to Tantra focused. But I will just say for those of you that are listening, like, one of the things that really helped me on my spiritual path was starting to work with different tantric practitioners of like a long lineage, right? My current tantra teacher is like a ninth generation, right? Like all the way back. And so being able to see like, okay, there's different goddesses that hold different energies. And this is in the accelerator why we do all this archetypal work. The reason why I started being able to bring you all understanding of the collective unconscious and Carl Jung and all of these different things around channeling your future self and pulling the codes in, it really started from doing goddess work within Tantra. And to give you just a little brief, like minute-long spiel on what that was I just recognized there were certain energies that existed in the world. Everything's energy, right? And if we look at anything, it's just energy taking form. And so as I was looking to really transform my life, for instance, I really wanted something that would help me with like the death and destruction of old unuseful habits and patterns within myself. And so I felt very drawn, even though like spiritual teachers were like, be careful, don't work with Kali in the beginning. Like, don't work with Kali. If you ever go into like Tantra and goddess work, they'll often caution you, like, don't start with Kali. I will tell you all, I started with Kali. And I just felt very drawn. Again, this isn't like a logical linear who's the right goddess for me. You have to tap into your intuition and follow what feels right. And so even though, right, the spiritual gurus were telling me, like, do not start with Kali. She's a very powerful energy and she will like destroy everything. That felt, when I felt it inside of me, I was like, oh no, we're here. Like, this is right. That's the person that I need to start working with. And so I would set altars. I had statues of Kali at my altar, and I would bring her gifts, and I developed a relationship with her, and she really helped me in that sort of caterpillar to butterfly transition, like kind of eat away like all of the stuff that was no longer serving me. And so that's an example of, you can look at, if Kali doesn't feel right, just go, you can literally just look up, like the way that I would do this with your logical in your mind is just look up. If you felt a ping about goddesses, just look up a list of goddesses and then watch for your ping, right? And I've worked with different goddesses at different times in my copywriting. Artemis is for sure a guide that comes in and helps me write with a lot of precision. When I'm someone that, when I'm at, in a place where I'm needing a lot of love and compassion for myself, I will work with Kuan Yin. If I'm wanting things like abundance or creativity, I work with goddesses like Lakshmi or Saraswati. And so as you begin to put names to some of these energies, right, they are goddesses, but you'll even see in different ancient, like across time and space, you'll notice that some of these goddesses seem very similar. They just have different names, right? And so I think whether we're looking at, and even we could even talk about like something like Kundalini and studying the different energetic points of the body, like that has been discovered in South American traditions. They just go, it goes by different names, right? And so looking at these things where it's all energy, and there might just be a system that explains it or presents it in a way that really, for some reason, resonates with you, right? And so even though it's interesting, because it's like I mentioned I do work with Artemis, but besides that, that's pretty much the only like ancient Roman, Greek, like European type goddess that has ever felt resonant for me. And within the Egyptian pantheon, the only goddess that has ever come forward for me is Isis, right? Whereas actually, when I look at all of almost anything in the Indian pantheon, I feel very drawn to and connected with. So, I mean, what's that about? I don't know. And I'm not looking for a logical linear answer, right? So if there's something where I've started talking about goddesses and your logical mind might be confused, but you are feeling a ping and an interest and a sparkle in your body, that's your cue to go start to follow that door. Open the door, open the door. And for those of you in the accelerator, if this is something that you would like an actual training on, I'm happy to do it. I think for me, I've always just kept it like energy is so, it's so universal and so broad. And so I've always just been aware of when I have something that's a more very specific spiritual tradition for me, that's very intimate for me, I'm sure I could just like present it, and those of you that are interested can take it, and those of you that don't have to take it. But that's just like to explain to you, if you've been in there and you're like, wait, like now I understand all this archetypal work and where that's all come from. This is why I haven't brought forward that specific lineage, is I've kept it very much more the Carl Jung collective unconscious, studying the different archetypes and how we're pulling those in to really pull in the codes of our future self. Okay. So we have talked about the difference between Buddhism and Tantra. We've talked about goddesses. We've talked about psychics. Maybe actually what might be interesting for you, this is literally, you're just following my brain, talking about things for you to track where there's a sparkle in your body. I did not feel an interest in ever being a psychic medium. I could recognize there was like some conditioning where I was like, I just don't really want to talk to dead people. Like that's just not, that doesn't sound like a thing I want to do. And so when I did psychic development, I made sure, I was like, I'm just learning to read energy. I'm just learning to like sort of like tap into all of the stuff that we're talking about, right? That like, what are those bands of energy that like sort of like live underneath everything, and being able to like tap in and read those for insight. And I mean, I think it's like, if you've been in the mastermind with me, like you get like my business downloads for you. I'm like, you know, I think it's Google ads for you, not like Facebook ads, right? Like, so I feel like in terms of like my business, because I have so much language around business, that psychic development has been very, very useful for me, right? And I do think it's also useful to say, like, I don't think I'll ever sell psychic business readings. It's just not interesting to me at this point, right? And so to just recognize, if you have a spiritual gift, it doesn't mean you need to monetize it. It really is like, I'm not even marketing the masterminds as like, come in and I'll be your business psychic. It just is something that's happening with more and more frequency. And if I ever feel called to shift it, then maybe that psychic gift will come in as an actual part of my commercial value, right? But right now it's almost like a surprise and delight thing for my clients. And the other thing is, it's like, when I did psychic development, I was at first resistant to doing any sort of mediumship work, but then of course that was part of it. So there were certain things where you have to be willing to sort of tap in and experience. You're basically allowing the energy of the spirit to come in. You're giving it permission. And then that spirit is then going to communicate and bring messages forward to you. And I think that maybe what I kind of thought would be like one of the worst things that could happen actually happened during my psychic development training, which was that what the spirit that came through for the person I was working with had, I guess, died in a house fire. And I could feel like my body felt like it. I could feel that in my body, right? And so it was like all of these things were sort of happening inside of my body. I felt so much anxiety, and I was so glad I had like all of the tools we talked about last week around like the mindset tools to really stay present with myself, the breathwork tools to be grounding myself, because I'm sitting there trying to bring this person in. I think it was like a college roommate or someone that they knew from college. But during the mediumship exercise, that was what came forward. And it was basically all the reason I was like, I don't know what would come in, and it would scare me, and it might be uncomfortable or whatever the thing. I watched enough Tyler Henry to like see the toll it took on his body. And I was like, I don't really want to do that. And so in that psychic development training, it was useful. I was able to give a beautiful reading for the person who was, I was doing the reading for and doing the connection for. And then after that, I haven't intentionally cultivated any mediumship abilities, but there are certain things where to me, it almost feels like spirit knows that I'm an open enough channel that they like, it's like a phone a friend emergency line. Like I have a very good friend whose daughter's going through a pretty severe mental health crisis right now. And this friend, her mother has passed. And last weekend, I'm just trying to clean my garage. And this mother, this deceased mother of my friend, just like would not leave me alone. Like she just kept knocking and it was like a very specific, like, I want you to have like my friend, she wanted my friend to like do a very specific thing inside of her home. And I was being called forward to bring that message through, and I'll probably cry now, but I felt so crazy to like pass this message on to my friend. I mean, she knows me well enough to know that like, I've sort of gone down this path, but, not to the point of like, hey friend, I've got like a message from your deceased mother. And I passed that note along to her, and it was like a very specific, please do this set of things. It's gonna like, it's important. Like your mother's wanting to come through and actually help in the 3D world. There's certain things and this needs to be done for her to be able to like bring her energy forward. And they actually went and did those things and, had the most powerful spiritual experience. My friend said it was like deeply healing that day for her to do it. And then it's been like deeply healing. She was even saying her son, who's a man of few words and is not really spiritual at all, like has spent time in the room where they set up essentially like an altar, right? For this woman to be able to sort of build her energy in this space in the home to do the work that she wanted to do. And since that time, it really does seem like the mental health of this daughter has been improving. And I don't think that's a coincidence. So there's certain things where you might have spiritual gifts that come online and you don't have to sell them, right? Like I don't have an interest in being a medium for pay. I don't really want to do that as a service. I really love business. I really love the work that I'm doing with these things. If spirit ever calls me to change that, I would 100% listen. But I also just wanted to stop there because it's like, I think it's like very interesting. I have a very strong ability within this and just no interest in making it part of the thing that I do for my work. But I have found over time that it has been something where it's like I'm able to deliver messages for people that really need things in time of need. So even though psychics, it's more reading the specific energies, it's almost like once you open that door, it's not uncommon for you to have experiences more in the world of spirit with like a lower S as in dead people. Right? So, and you can also like, it's not, I used to be so scared of this. Like I was so scared of even just the idea of this. And so the fact that I'm talking about it openly on a podcast now just shows I've come a very long way. And again, there's even overlap. Like, I think one example of this is like when I was still very anti-medium and I was very scared, like I think I just used to, as a kid, I could feel dead people. Like, you know, like the sixth sense where the kid's like, I see dead people. I have never been able to see them, but I remember as a kid being very scared because I could feel like presences around me. And my mom was like, just thought I was scared of the dark, right? But it was like stuff that I didn't have language for what was happening. And it was really scary for me. And so I think because of that, I had this like big block around opening myself up to dead people. So just notice if that flags anything for you. But I remember early on in my journey, I went to a tarot reader, and she actually brought forward a lot of messages about how my Nana, my great grandmother who had passed on, like the purpose, what I was here to do in this lifetime, was actually carrying on. So it was like actually clearing a karmic pattern from my great grandmother. And so it was kind of wild because she was like reading the cards, and then all of a sudden she's like getting messages from spirit. I was like, wait, I didn't sign up for like a mediumship reading, right? So just know whether you're opening your spiritual gifts or whether you're someone who's interested in like going for something like a tarot reading where you want to sort of, you don't maybe... you have a desire, like an intuitive like sparkle, but maybe your path as a human in this lifetime is never to have that spiritual gift yourself. To just know, once you get into the world of like intuition, like the same way that there's like a lot of overlap between coaches and consultants and mentors and teacher trainers, there's a lot of overlap in some of the like energy workers, with shamans, with tarot readers, with all of the other things. And so when I went to this tarot reader and then she started bringing me messages from like my Nana, I'm like, I didn't sign up for a mediumship thing. I was so freaked out. But then of course I burst into tears because my Nana's thing was she, had wanted to be an opera singer, and she went to her grave having never, like, literally with the song, like unsung, like in her heart. And so it was like what came through in that day was like, I was here for people where it's like, there's a song in their heart. There's a purpose. There's a calling that they have. Like, I will not like let people go to the grave like my Nana. Like, I am here to help people pull that out and like live their actual calling, right? And so having a tarot reader where it's like, I just was open, like I was open enough to like having some cards read for me, and then this other door opened. Even though I was resistant in the moment, just notice, really try to notice when you're going into spiritual spaces. Notice mental resistance, right? And I think that was for me, that reading that came through from my Nana was so sacred and so important to like my mission and tethering into my why and being able to go through the hard things and like everything else, because it was so confirming of like what I'm supposed to do on this planet. And that's, I think, another thing that I will say is like, when I look at like what the role of someone like a tarot reader, a psychic, some of these people where you're sort of like seers, right? Like where there's sort of future lines or things that you're wanting guidance on. I genuinely believe, first from having seen like lots of readers and also from now being a psychic myself, I'm just confirming, like my whole value as a psychic is I am confirming something that the person has already felt, but they haven't trusted themselves enough to go for it, right? And I cannot tell you the number of like business, like psychic readings I've had from like a business standpoint. And I'm like, okay, like it's like this kind of ads, or it's this, or I was at an event recently and this is like one of those things when it's like, I'm just trying to be a human in the world. And then spirit is like, no, you need to like say this thing right now. This was like a friend of a friend. We were at this like big coaching conference. And I did not know this person super well. I'd been like in a mastermind with her previously, but I didn't know her very well. And we're just like at a bar. It was like me and my friend Lindsay. And then her friend Brig comes and we're all talking. And then spirit is like, you need to tell her to do a book funnel. Like, it just keeps telling me like, she needs to do a book funnel. And it was like kept like something around a book. And I was just trying to squash it down and ignore it. And then finally, I was just like, listen, I'm really sorry, but like this message keeps coming through for you. And I don't know if this means anything, but like you're supposed to do a book funnel. And it was like, I had no idea, but she had just recently hired a coach to like help her actually write a book, like write a memoir. And that's just an example of like, my whole role there was to just confirm, right? Like she had Because she had been told from like a business standpoint, well, books don't make a lot of money. You should focus on your higher end coaching. You should like do all of these things. And so oftentimes if we have conditioning in our mind that's keeping us from our actual path, the role of someone like a psychic, a tarot reader, something like that is to sort of help you sort of suss that out, right? And they'll reflect back to you oftentimes something that you've had a deep knowing about and confirm for you that like either that you're already on the right path, or if you have felt like, I don't know which, it's a fork in the road, I don't know which one to do. They can oftentimes sort of feel into different timelines for you. And it's not like there's a right or a wrong, but again, like, because we're people, right? We have free will. But oftentimes there'll be a sense of like, this timeline feels like this, this timeline feels like that, this, you know, if you make a decision this way, like, this is what it feels like. If you make a decision that way, this is what it feels like. And that's generally the role of something like the most powerful thing I think that psychics are here to do, is really be that confirmation for the human in you that's like not trusting what your intuition is telling you to do. Oh my goodness. I have been talking for so long and I have so much more to do. We're just going to keep going with it. This is going to be over an hour long. Let's keep going. Okay. There's people like herbalists, and it's interesting because I feel like this is something that like I definitely don't have a call towards like being someone who works with earth magic, but there are some people, their whole thing is they have magic with plants. They have magic with different tinctures and creating different things. And so for me as a consumer, for instance, I have different like tinctures and ashwagandha and like different herbs that help me as a human, but that's not my gift to bring forward, right? But this might be something for you as you're like feeling into this. One, it's like maybe just tell if you just got a sparkle around herbalist, then you can just start to notice like, okay, wait, like, am I supposed to study this or am I supposed to like look for this as something that will aid me on my spiritual path? And then just note, track the sparkle or whatever the somatic experience is in your body of when your intuition's saying yes, okay? There are shamans and an entire world of plant medicine. I strongly believe plant, and listen, also not all shamans are like facilitators of plant medicine. I just want to say that. There's like a million different kinds of shamans. There's some that work much more just like in the, like the sort of spirit realm and they're going in. I actually had like a soul retrieval experience once where like a guy basically just went into trance. He shook a rattle. He did a soul retrieval. He was able to come back and like tell me a lot of things about myself that like there's no way he would have known. And then he was able to say like, okay, I did that. And now like follow up with these things and that's the end of it. And that was a shaman. I have also sat with the Hunikuin of Brazil for like a 3-day ayahuasca ceremony where I was being served the medicine, right, of Mama Aya, and every day going deeper and deeper, unwinding that, like those mental layers, right? Like really going in, like, listen, I think the brand alchemy process is very powerful, but I think ayahuasca is more powerful, right? So like there's certain things where when you start to venture into plant medicine, whether it's like magic mushroom, psilocybin, ayahuasca, wachuma, you could even look at things like LSD, right? And the power that those things have as, yes, do some people use them as party tools? Yes, but it's sort of just like you will get out of it the level of consciousness that you bring into it, right? And so when you go, anything can be sacred. And when you go in to work with these medicines with sacred intention, you will get out of it very deep awarenesses, very deep transformation. If you've watched like How to Change Your Mind on Netflix, like you already know of the power of like many of these different types of plant medicines. But it's like just well documented and studied now in terms of scientifically what it's doing with the brain is a lot of the sort of like neural pathways that like we are just living, right? Like we're just basically living the same pattern over and over and over again, like the same thoughts, the same feelings in our body. We're just on that loop every day. And what sitting with something like plant medicine does with many of these medicines, not all of them, but it's like laying fresh powder down on your neural pathways. So like all the things that were patterns for you, like are just completely gone. And if you watch How to Change Your Mind, you'll hear, is it Phil Stamets, I think is his name, but he talks about how his whole life he'd had a stutter. And then one night he like accidentally took like a hero's dose of magic mushrooms and woke up and never had a stutter again. I have a friend who was like really suffering from, I think it's called trigonomia, but it was like hair pulling. For 17 years, she tried everything, talk therapy, somatic work. She tried like everything, hypnosis, you name it. She had tried it. And she actually went, I think she worked with MDMA actually. But after that, literally like one single night, never again after 17 years of pulling her hair, right? And so there's certain things when you start to look into the world of some of these different medicines, there are people that their work is they have a deep relationship with something like ayahuasca or with psilocybin. And so I think this is something where if you're feeling a sparkle into it, either as someone who might want to start to work with these medicines and do work with them as a facilitator or a practitioner, to follow the sparkle, to follow what feels alive for you, and then to allow yourself to go on that path. And I think this the same thing is true as someone who's looking to possibly experience plant medicine. The same way that I talked about how I was resistant to mediums, right? Or like the dead people stuff, or I was resistant to Tantra at first, like because of the mental conditioning of the mind. It's just such a human thing, right? But it can go the other way, right? Which is if you are someone who's been conditioned in the spiritual space right now, ayahuasca is just super trendy, right? And something like human design is just super trendy. And so actually, if you're not tracking from your body, from the intuition of the wisdom of your body, and you're just going with your conditioned mind that's seen a bunch of like Instagram things and podcast interviews about like how amazing ayahuasca is, you see a lot of people have bad experiences with the medicine. And oftentimes it's either like it wasn't, sometimes it's like the facilitation, right? But I very strongly believe oftentimes that person was not supposed to have that medicine. Like, and it's like, right, their body rejects it. Like that was not supposed to be for them. It was not on their path. Right. And so if you're venturing into any of these things, even, I've just sat, I think one of the last times I sat with psilocybin, and it wasn't like you could look with like a logical thing of like, what is the proper dosage? You're like, what's the proper dosage to receive like hallucinogenic effects? And what's a hero's dose? And like, you can look that up on like online for sure. Right. But once you've deconditioned your mind body system and you're just connected to your inner wisdom, you could sit and like that, the way that we like decided on our dosage was just literally feeling when the yes triggered in my body, right? It was like, okay, this much, this much, this much. And then when it was a yes, like I could feel a clear yes. And then that was my answer. And so this is probably going to trigger the shit out of some of you that have like super strong linear logical minds. But when you start venturing into the world of spirit, that is the right answer. That is the way to do it correctly. And to just trust that. So what else? Oh man, I've talked about systems, human design. I've talked about different spiritual traditions. Oh my goodness. What should we talk about? The last thing that I want to talk about is more just like the different ways like spiritual things can come in. Like we could talk about sound. And there's people who can transmit something called light language, which if you ask me to like explain logically what that is, I can't even tell you. I just know that I have experienced it as someone who, I think it was just meant to happen. I had a friend who was like, I think you just need to talk to my friend like Juno. And I was like, okay. And I just met with Juno one day and she had deeply studied light language. And it was so funny, like how people are always brought to you in a way that your logical mind will like accept. Like, I feel like for me, I am here for the part of the collective that's super linear, logical mind, oftentimes very highly educated and usually would reject a lot of the spiritual stuff. But because it's coming from me, they can like accept it, which was very much when I was coming into this. I think I've talked before about my friend Omri and how he went to Wharton and then he was like, you know, studying the Kabbalah and doing all the spiritual work. So I was like, okay, I guess like if he's a former venture capitalist, I'll buy it. But this woman, Juno, who did a light language transmission that was very powerful early on in my journey, she had gone to Harvard, right? So I think that was like, it was being served to me in a way where it was like, oh, okay, like this person is like not totally like out there. Like my linear logical mind wanted someone that could bring the medicine forward in a way that I would accept it. And I think that's another thing to just recognize that like you will be brought when you're ready, right? When the student is ready, the teacher appears. and just recognizing like the person that you're meant to study with, the person that you're meant to work with, that person will emerge at the point where you're ready to like really deepen in and do this work. And with the talking about light language, that's something where it's like, it's believed that you're just like channeling in like energies and things from like different dimensions, straight up different dimensions. And I was like, okay, Juno. And then I'm on a call with her one day and she just goes into this light language transmission. And I swear, like my body actually, like it started moving my body. Like I was not in control of my body. It was like having me move my body and like release energy in very specific ways when she was doing this. It's to this day, I think in terms of an energy worker having so much power that they were able to control my physical body. I've only ever had that happen one other time. And that was when I was in, I had gone down to Mexico for a spiritual retreat down there. And there was a woman who was very deep in the shamanic traditions. And she knew a medicine woman from Mexico that was very, very powerful. And it's the kind of thing where it was like, my logical mind was like, what in the world are we doing? But we were directed as a group. So this Mexican woman came in and she sat at the front and we were directed to just literally stare at her, to just look at her. Right, with all of our, and not just look at her just with our eyes, like to bring all of our awareness, our presence, our focus into her energy field. And when I tell you that I had an actual psychedelic experience, like no joke, like I had sat with plant medicine. So I had gone to the other realms, right? I had gone to places where I could, you know, like I was no longer seeing the 3D in front of me. I have seen like the different sort of dimensions that exist, right? When we're able to sort of transcend our little human experience, right? But I had never not been on plant medicine and had the experience of literally the 3D world falling down around me. And I was able to see the different sort of like, actually talking about like those two women at the table, right? Where they were able to like see the different shapes, right? And so I had an experience that day with that woman where I like with just from looking at her, right? She wasn't looking at me, right? She was a channel. She was coming in. She was like opening her channel and pulling in a lot of energy. The entire world just flew down around me. It was definitely like a psychedelic experience. And then it was like my body actually, like I couldn't sit up anymore. It was like my spine was like, I had to kneel. I had to bow. It was so wild, right? And so that's an example of something where you could be like, well, what's like, what is going on there? Or like, okay, Catherine, that's cool. But like, that sounds like a party trick. Now what? And my sense of it was, because after that, I remember after there was like this wild energetic experience that I had, then she sort of went into being a transmission. She was just bringing channeled messages from spirit. And a lot of it to me, like just sounded like an oracle deck. It was just like, you know, love is the way. And like all of those different types of things that just sound really nice. And honestly, I think for me, I was able to receive those messages and not have my skeptical mind be like, yeah, that's nice, right? It was like, wow, like she has come in and washed this room with such powerful energy that we cannot help but like know the truth of it. And now because of that, we are able to accept the transmission that comes next. And this is actually, now we're going to go back to psychics for a minute, but like when you're trained as a psychic, you're often told to bring something like specific. Psychics are trained to be able to bring specific things through. Like, you know, I have your grandma here, but of course, like every grandma is going to be like, I love you, right? But like psychics are trained to be like, okay, like your grandma, she's holding up some mac and cheese in a blue dish. And the reason why psychics are trained to bring forward specific information for you like that is so that then you're able to accept the message from spirit, right? Like that's the whole why behind it. And so I thought that was so interesting because I remember having that experience in Mexico and my linear logical mind being like, okay, like what's the practicality? You know, I'm a practical magician. So I'm like, what's the practicality of it, right? And it's like, oh, okay, well, if you're here to bring a transmission forward for the world, being able to actually show something. So this is right, like Jesus, right? Turning all of the different miracles he was able to perform then allowed people to listen to his teachings. I'm not saying that all of like any spiritual person is as high as Jesus, right? Obviously he's a spiritual master, but it's the same type of thing, right? When someone's able to do something that is, we would call it magic, it allows the transmission to come through and for us to actually, the human part of us, to accept it more. Okay, that actually, I'm like feeling like that is the bulk of it. The last thing that's wanting to come forward right now is just to bring forward the knowledge of like Reiki or pranic healing or different energy healing systems. And so there are people who are here where their whole gift is being able to heal. Oftentimes, like they can literally lay hands on people, right? Literally lay hands on people and create healing. It's interesting, actually. I have a client who is in my Pleasure and Precision Mastermind, and she was a trained chiropractor, and she was coming into the coaching space. And we had our retreat in Sedona, and when we went out to Sedona, we went for psychic readings. I have like a favorite psychic out there. So I took them all to see this incredible psychic. And one of the things that the psychic brought forward for my friend who was leaving her chiropractor business was actually bringing forward that she was a great energy worker and she had power in her hands. And she was like, you know, are you aware of that? My friend who was a chiropractor who was like, yeah, actually, like I am aware like that when I have done sort of talking about, right, how there's like yoga that's just your body. And then there's like Kundalini yoga that's like bringing in energy healing with it. My client was able to really, she was like, yes, you're just kind of confirming for me. Like I kind of already knew when I was doing chiropractic adjustments, there was often some sort of energy transmission that was coming through for the client. And that was just confirming for her that day, right? So there are people, and it's interesting because it's not the first time I've heard of a lot of chiropractors come into becoming energy workers through being a chiropractor, the same way that I came into being a much more spiritual leaning mentor from mindset coaching, right? So like, remember, you open one door and then the next door will be shown and then the next door will be shown. And whether that's you opening up spiritual gifts or whether that's you recognizing what spiritual guidance or gifts are there, facilitators really for you to invest in that will help you sort of unlock that next door and move forward, to just trust, to trust the energy, to trust the intuitive hit of this is the thing that is my next move, right? So whether it's a psychic, whether it's a medium, whether it's maybe you got a sparkle with Kundalini yoga, tarot readers, herbalists, shamans, light language, Reiki, right? So if you're just someone that has never like experienced Reiki and you're interested, notice if you feel a sparkle about that. I'm someone that like, I didn't even think, I'm like, no, I like massages. I don't know if I want Reiki. And now with our like Pleasure and Precision retreat, I'm like, we're sourcing right now. We're like, yes, we need body workers that can do the energy work as well. Because like nothing's better than a massage from an energy worker that can also like channel. And so one of the most powerful Reiki experiences I had was actually right before, gosh, I think it was my last Think Like an Entrepreneur retreat. And I knew it was my last one. I hadn't told my clients yet, but I knew it was the last one I was going to be leading. And I went to a salon and spa to get my hair done before meeting them that night for our kickoff. And they offered Reiki and massage at that spa, like salon and spa as well. And I booked that and it was such a powerful experience. That woman cleared things from past lives I didn't even know I had. Right? Like there was just, it's like it flooding your system with like the energy of love. And it's like, it's so cleansing in ways you can't even imagine. And you know, that was something for me that day I actually like got an activation in my hands where I felt like it was to the point where, it was like painful, like electricity moving in my hands, like almost painfully so. And it's so funny because I haven't even thought about that. But I remember that day I was like, oh, is that like a sign that I'm supposed to go study Reiki now? And to be honest, I forgot about that experience until just now, like me telling the story. And so now I'm just going to set the intention, universe, if that was the message, just feel free to send energy to my hands again. And I'm feeling energy in my hands. So I think I'm going to be studying Reiki sometime soon. And so this is the path, right? I know this is a very different episode from my super rising Capricorn logical linear mind walking you through coaches versus consultants versus mentors versus teacher trainers. But I wanted to just talk. And for you to really, it was actually more to feel my energy, to feel into the transmission of the energy that was coming forward, and for that to then cue off something within you that's either guiding you to something that maybe is a spiritual gift that wants to unfold within you, or is clearing, like guiding you towards, there's an investment into my spiritual growth that I want to make. This is the kind of practitioner I want to work with to make it. And this is what I'm feeling guided towards. So I'm feeling very complete with this episode. I'm allowing myself to just take a moment and see if anything else wants to come through. No, the channel is complete. The transmission is complete. So with that, you have a lot to feel into. And this is actually, I think, so interesting, the way that you want to make decisions in this realm. It's really feeling into it. It's not the cognitive mind that wants to make the decision. It's the dropping in and feeling and noticing what felt right from that deeper intuitive place. All right. That is it, y'all. I love you all so much. I hope you enjoyed this spiritual magic carpet ride I just took you on, and I can't wait to see what it opens up and where it leads you. I'll talk to y'all next week. If you are loving what you are learning on the podcast, you are going to be over the moon inside of my programs. There are only 3 core skills you need as an entrepreneur: branding, messaging, and scaling. When you aren't signing the number of clients you want, it's only one of 2 problems. First, you're either not attracting people to work with you, or you're attracting the wrong kinds of buyers, and that is a branding problem. Or you're not communicating effectively to the people you've attracted in, so they're sitting on the fence instead of raising their hands to come work with you, and that is a messaging problem. Once your branding and messaging is on point, you get a new problem. We call it a champagne problem around here, and that's always the type of problems I want to be helping you solve. And that new problem is that you have way too many people wanting to work with you. The demand for your service is way higher than the time you have in a day. And that's where scaling comes in. For women going to the top, we're setting up scalable offers, scaled marketing, and a company where you have support from team and systems so that your business finally is something taking care of you instead of you feeling like the business is one more thing you have to take care of. No matter where you are on your journey, I have the exact program to help you. We work on your brand inside the Brand Alchemy Accelerator and your messaging inside the Words Are Wands Mastermind. And for those ready to expand from solopreneur to entrepreneur running a company, I help you do it in a pleasure-filled way inside of the Pleasure and Precision Mastermind. Branding, messaging, and scaling. These 3 skills make up the triple threat skill set stack and are the clearest, fastest pathway for your business to bloom in ways you never dreamt possible. To learn more and join us, head to www.katherinemorsoncoaching.com. I'll see you there.